Our main purpose in being here this morning is to worship God. Everything that we do, even including the time that I'm speaking to you from the Word of God, is to be in worship to Him. And even during this part of our worship, God is the audience, and you and I are sending our worship to Him. However, during the time that we are studying from God's Word, there is also another concept that must be involved, and that's the idea of communication. It is so important that those of us who preach be able to communicate. When you have listened to what has been said this morning, or what shall be said tonight, as Brother Frank Belizzi brings the lesson, you leave, if you have not learned from what has been said, we have not been successful in our teaching. There needs to be communication. I'm not as concerned about whether or not you remember the title of the lesson, although I think you will remember the one this morning. Whether you remember a particular passage of Scripture, as I am, you're getting the idea that's involved to where you can apply that in your life and understand what is being said. You might leave from this building when someone has spoken and talk about what a great lesson has been presented, but unless you've learned something from it, it wasn't really a great lesson. When I announced in the bulletin and told Gary a few days ago my subject for this morning, he began to search frantically for some songs to go with it and couldn't find any. I'm speaking this morning on tickle, step on, or touch. He says he just can't find any songs on those subjects. What we're talking about is three different approaches that are taken not only in our public speaking, but also in our conversations one-on-one. We either tickle the ears, step on the toes, or touch the hearts. And I think if you were to describe every person that you've ever heard speak, every person with whom you've had a conversation, that you would be able to describe that lesson or that conversation in one of or a combination of these three ideas. We either tickle the ears, step on the toes, or touch the hearts. On Thursday of this week, Judy and I went to Columbus, Georgia to visit with my sister who's been in the hospital and who, by the way, is doing some better. Many of you have asked about her. During the time that we were there, my brother-in-law, who is also a preacher, and I were talking about several things, sharing ideas with each other, and we began to talk about some fellow preachers. We preachers are just like you are. We talk about preachers. Came up as a result of our talking about a friend of ours that's moving from one place to another, and comment was made about what a great speaker he is. And I asked my brother-in-law, I said, have you heard him several times? And he said, yes. I said, tell me something you learned in listening to him. He couldn't tell me a thing. A little later, we were talking about another man who is not as much of an orator as this first man we were discussing. And I asked my brother-in-law again, I said, can you tell me some lessons that you remember him speaking? He said, not only can I tell you about some of them, I could probably give you the main points in his outline. Because I remember how I could follow along with everything that he was saying. And I said, the reason I raised that man is that I can do the same thing. This second man that we were talking about conducted a gospel meeting where I was preaching at Tullahoma a few years ago. It's been maybe 6 or 8 years ago, I'm not for sure, but I could tell you most of the lessons that he preached and what was contained in them. The first man that we were talking about had conducted a gospel meeting at Tullahoma a year or two before that. And I tell you, he's one of the best orators I ever heard, but I couldn't tell you this morning if my life depended on it, a subject that he discussed or what he said. Now, what's important? What's important is communicating. And especially being able to communicate God's Word to where we understand it. Those of us that preach do one of three things, or a combination of it. We tickle the ears, step on the toes, or touch the hearts. Although this subject is not taken from the Bible, as far as the words are concerned, the ideas are. In 2 Timothy 4, an older preacher, Paul, was talking to a younger preacher, Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away themselves or their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The fact that Timothy is told to preach the word in verse 2 and to do the work of an evangelist and a minister in verse 5 indicates to us that this is hitting dead center on the subject of preaching. But notice what Paul says there in verses 3 and 4. He says the time is going to come with some people when they're not as interested in the truth being communicated to them as they are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the real bottom line of what he's saying there, though maybe a little bit crude, is that these people want to be scratched where they itch. They want to have their ears tickled. Notice he says, after their own lust, and the word lust there may be used in the main in talking about evil ideas, but it really is the idea of their own desires. After their own desires, they want to have their ears tickled. So they heap to themselves teachers. They're not interested in whether or not it's the truth. They're interested in whether or not what's being said is what they want said. This is not unlike John 12, 42 and 43. Verse 42, some of those who were leaders among the group believed on Jesus, but they would not confess him and obey him because they were afraid they'd be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 gives the reason for what happened in verse 42. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Somewhere this morning, no doubt, there will be a man that will stand before an audience and proclaim forcefully to that audience, let me tell you, you do not need to be baptized in order to be saved. And people will sort of sit up straight and say, good, that's what I wanted to hear. There will be a man somewhere that will stand up this morning and say to an audience, listen, you do not need to observe the Lord's Supper except just occasionally. And there will be somebody who will say, and this is seemingly one of the things that so many people want their ears tickled with this approach, let me tell you, if you are a Christian, there is nothing whatsoever that you can ever do, no matter how bad, that will ever put your soul in jeopardy. And people will sit and listen to that and have their ears tickled, hearing what they want to hear and feel good about it. Feel that everything is okay. Because preachers are tickling the ears. The I'm okay, you're okay concept of life is not good unless it's also okay with God. If it's okay with God, then the approach of I'm okay, you're okay is good. And certainly, I think all of you would agree with me on this, we need to use every positive approach that we can. We need to compliment when we can. We need to encourage, in fact, in this text that we're looking at here on this very point. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he did mention reprove and rebuke, but he also mentioned exhort. That's encouraging. That's taking a positive approach when it can be done, and that needs to be done. But folks, not just for the point of tickling the ears. Now, in reaction to that, there has been a tendency on the part of most of us preachers in the church to go too far in the other direction. And spend a lot of our time stepping on toes. When you turn to the Word of God again, you'll find examples of this. For example, in Acts 7:51, Philip said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Man, he was pretty negative in his approach, wasn't he? And if you don't think he stepped on some toes, it also talks about cutting to the heart there, but not in the sense that we'll be talking in a moment of touching the heart. He stepped on the toes to the extent that he stirred them up in anger and wrath, and they stoned him to death. Boy, he just literally tromped their toes in the ground. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. On one occasion, particularly, Jesus preached like that. Read Matthew 23 sometime when you have an opportunity to read an entire chapter. Jesus was preaching to the scribes and Pharisees, and he called them hypocrites. Now, what would you think of me this morning if I called a group of people hypocrites? Jesus did. Not only that, but a little later on down in that chapter, he really called them garbage and rotten. Now, I'm summing up what he said, but you see if the idea is not there. Why, he said, you think you're like a clean dish and a clean bowl, but really, you haven't looked on the inside. You haven't really washed the inside of that dish. And you're full of extortion and other things. He was saying, in a sense, you're trying to look like you're clean when, in a sense, you're full of garbage. And not only that, he said to these that he called hypocrites, he said, let me tell you that you're just like a tomb that on the outside looks white and inside it's full of dead men's bones, where there has been decay. Well, he got right down to stepping on their toes and he laid it on the line to them. I have known of a few preachers who I really think lean too far in that direction. About all they ever did was condemn what was going on and tell people they were going to hell if they didn't change their ways. And just bang, 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 step, step, trod, tramp on toes, one after the other. And don't misunderstand me. We need to teach in a clear way and point out sin. But we need to do it with love and with kindness, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. There may be times that it will be necessary to step on toes. And we should never apologize for teaching the truth if it condemns sin, but we do need to watch our attitudes and be careful on that. It is described in Jude verses 20 and 21 that some people are saved with compassion and some are snatched, as it were, out of the fire. You may have to step on some toes to get some attention. You may have to step on some toes sometimes to trigger the door to the hearts. Folks, it's this third idea this morning that you and I need to emphasize. Touching the hearts. We will never accomplish what we need to accomplish until we open our hearts. And you as a listener are just as much involved, maybe more so in a sense, than I as a speaker in this. Because even Jesus recognized Revelation 3:20 that he could not force himself into the heart of a man. He just says, I stand there at the door and knock. He says, I want to come in. But that knob on that door is on the inside. You've got to open it from the inside to let me in, Jesus was saying. And so your responsibility as a listener, or when I'm in the listening setting, my responsibility is just as much there as it is when I'm speaking. But our approach needs to be to try to touch the hearts of people. This seems to be what Peter did on Pentecost. Now, he may have had just a little bit of stepping on toes in that he accused them of killing Jesus. He was rather specific in what he said. But the end result in verse 37 of Acts 2 is they were pricked in their hearts. He got to their hearts with his message. And it was not just a message of doom. It was a message of hope. For as he was accusing them of killing Jesus, he was also presenting to them the fact that God had made this Jesus Lord in Christ, and that he was the answer to their questions and the solution to their problems. Therefore, he got into their hearts, you see. And what's said a little later on in that chapter, as he continued to teach, indicates how he did that. It says that he, with other words, began to testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Testify is the idea of teaching the facts of the gospel, and exhorting is the idea of encouraging people to open their hearts, accept those facts, believe them, and obey them. So you see, Peter's approach here was not to tickle their ears. He certainly couldn't do that. And it was not in the main, though possibly used to some extent, to step on their toes. What he wanted to do was touch their hearts and get them to react, and he was able to get 3,000 to react positively on that day. We find, for example, with the conversion of Lydia in Acts 16, it says she attended unto the things that she learned. And you just sort of get the idea when you read that context. Here's Paul preaching and teaching. Lydia opens her mind and listens. She believes it. She obeys it. What did he do? He touched her heart with the power of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never be successful in the Lord's work until we touch our hearts with the gospel and bring the actions and the results that way. We need to compliment when we can. We need to condemn when we must. But our greatest need is with love to approach the hearts of men with the power of the gospel and get people to honestly consider and think about what needs to be done. Think about these three ideas in five areas of thought for just a moment. We do a lot of teaching and talking about moral principles, and rightly so. There are many people in America today who will stand up not only in religious assemblies, but in many others' assemblies, and tickle the ears of the people and tell them, you just do whatever you want to, you be your own guide, your own one to decide, and it'll be all right. I happened to be listening yesterday as we were coming home to the radio and heard the song sung by Debbie Boone, Light Up Your Life. And there's a statement in that song that says, how can anything that feels so good be wrong? And I thought of this very point as I was listening to that. This, in a sense, describes a trend that's taking place in many sectors and sections of our country, among many different people. As long as it feels good, as long as our ears are tickled and we feel good about it, it's all right to do anything we want to. To the other extreme, and sometimes you and I may be guilty of this, all we do is condemn everything that's done in the area of morality versus immorality. And sometimes to our younger generation, we tell them, this is wrong, don't do it, this is wrong, you're going to hell if you do it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting compromise by any stretch of the imagination. But I am saying sometimes we may be taking the wrong approach by just stepping on toes. And sometimes feeling good that we've mashed the toes. Boy, I told them. And sometimes we hear members of the church say, if they had been here, they would have gotten it, wouldn't they? Boy, we let them have it. Well, what good is it if we let them have it, if we drive them away, if we mash their toe and the toe stays sore the rest of their life and they never are able to put on the shoe of Christianity? What good is it? What we need to do is to get into the hearts of people and show ourselves the value of purity and the value of clean thinking that will lead from the heart to pure and clean action. On the subject of attendance, this principle applies so very much. Folks, we have a bit of a problem, and I may question whether I should have used a bit of in that sentence. A large number of you in this audience this morning who didn't get up in time to come to Bible study. It's not my place to judge you. Maybe there are some reasons, if God understands, I must. But I frankly admit to you, I don't understand. And I have a hard time believing that God understands. Those of us who are able to go hour in and hour out through the week in our classes, in our activities, on our job, and then we don't have time to get up on Sunday morning and come to a Bible class where we may very well could learn more than even in a lesson like this. I'm not going to tickle your ears and tell you I think it's all right because I don't believe it is. But I don't want to spend all my time trying to stamp on toes and just trample them and just be negative about it. I want to get into your heart and get you to think about it, because I believe sincerely that in most instances, if you will stop and really think about it and really consider what's involved, you'll make the right decision. Sometimes we talk about the giving of our means and the giving of our time to be involved in the Lord's work. We haven't talked about that much this year here because we are one of the few congregations that I know of that's giving more than its budget. And though I don't mean it in the sense of just tickling ears, I don't hesitate to compliment the congregation on that. And yet we're persuaded that there are those, as in any normal situation present, who need some teaching on this. To those of us that work locally, to those of you that are in school, we need to stop and think about this if we're really giving to God as we should when we're able to do all the things that we do in life. But we won't accomplish the end result that's needed by tickling ears or stepping on toes. It won't help just to get on this subject and tromp on it, as we sometimes say, and step on it again and again. But if you and I can open our hearts and look at it, we'll do the right thing. I really believe in most instances that my brethren will do the right thing when they think things through and really stop and think about what they're doing. So what we've got to do, you see, is look at the needs and look at the blessings and look at the values and get us to open our hearts and think about what it means for me to be able to give liberally of my money and my time and my talents and my effort in the Lord's service. This point applies to those who need to be restored and those who need to be baptized. The Bible teaches that we are to repent of our sins and confess our faults one to another in the process of what we have termed the restoration. I'm not going to tickle your ears this morning and tell you that you're all right if you violate God's will on that and don't do what he says. Sometimes those who have failed to attend the services and failed to be involved for months and months will just happen back in, never do what God said about confessing their faults and praying one for another, and think everything is okay. And sometimes others will tickle their ears and tell them that's okay. It's not okay if you haven't done what God said. But we're not going to accomplish the end result if we just harp on that and nag about it over and over and try to step on toes again and again. We've got to get in the hearts. We've got to get us to see what God says about it and what he wants us to do and the attitude that we ought to have toward it. I could very easily say to those of you this morning who haven't become Christians, if you die in that condition, you'll be lost and go to hell. I believe that's where you're headed if you die outside of Christ. I don't hesitate to tell you that. But let's not just stop there. And maybe a little bit of stepping on toes, and maybe sometimes we've got to do a little bit of that, but let's go beyond that, and let's get in the heart. Let's touch the hearts before we get down to the toes. And folks, if we can touch our hearts before we get down to the toes, we won't have to step on toes. If we can get us to see that Jesus died for us and shed his blood and wants us to be Christians, then we will react and we will do what he's asked us to do. And so as we think about the need of living moral lives, being involved in worship services, Bible study classes, giving of our means and ourselves, being restored when we go astray, being baptized into Christ to become Christians, we don't need to tickle ears or step on toes. We need to touch our hearts. And I believe if you've not obeyed the gospel and you understand what Jesus is as a Savior, that if you'll let your heart be touched, you'll want to obey him. And if you've been out of service or haven't had the right attitude toward him as a Christian, if you'll let your heart be touched with the power that's in this word, you will want to be restored. It won't take tickling or stepping on if we can just touch the hearts with the word of God. If your heart is touched, you'll want to be a Christian. Maybe some of you even now by coming as together we stand and sing. Seated, please.
song before the Lord's Supper this morning will be number 79. 79.
Father in heaven, as we approach thee in this petition, we pray that with the mind's eye, we look back to the cross, look back further when Jesus, being born of a virgin, came to this world. The life that he lived, sinless, all the things that he went through, the examples that he set, that finally led to the cross. We pray, Father, that we will remember Jesus. We will remember him now at this time. We will remember that this bread represents his body. We're thankful, Father, that Jesus died, that we might have the forgiveness of sins, that he died that we might have that home in heaven with thee, and that he died indeed that we might live. We pray now, Father, that as we partake of this bread, we will do so in a pleasing way to thee. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this fruit of the vine, which represents to us the blood shed on the cross for our sins. Help us, Father, to put the worldly thoughts out of our mind and to do this in a manner which will be well-pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you.